This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour three as we roll along this morning, and a throwback Thursday as we've been going back to 1968, the Heidi game in the NFL. I think when we do throwback Thursdays, we try to make it as more conversational as we can. Some of the ones in the we go to history, some we can't avoid, some we have a choice. But there are some where I just, when I see them, I go, man, there's a larger issue with that particular one. And in this case, it really is. Like, it's one thing to go back in the history and say it happened on this date, like we do with a lot of things. But it's also what it led to. And the NBC pulling a game, turning off a game for a television movie in 1968 that leads to what we have now, where in 2022, sports is one of the most dominating product that you can have on television. It's DVR proof for the most part, and it sets up a lot of the broadcasts that you want to promote down the road. It's what it is today really got its, you know, we could start feeling the importance of televised sports back in 1968 when the switchboards blew up because people in New York City watching the Jets on the road in Oakland and the game was turned off for a television movie and they were really upset about it because there was no other way to consume the product. There was nowhere else to go to get the game. There was no other than maybe radio, but there was nowhere to watch it. So when the Raiders came back and won that game, nobody in New York saw it. Nobody around the country saw it. And now look at where we are now, where you don't think about doing that. You would rather have a Cowboys-Packers game on Fox go into overtime because it becomes one of the most watched things over the weekend. If you look at the highest rated programs in sports, you will find the NFL filling up the top 10 in various categories. If you want to talk about the all-time most watched programs in the history of television, like the final episode of MASH or what, it, you look and you see how many Super Bowls are on that list. The medium and the sport came together in such a way now that what you get today, it had to go through a growing pain in the 1968 it did. Coming up, I want to get into a little college basketball. I know it's early and none of this really means a lot, but there was a good upset last night in Austin. I wouldn't really call it an upset, though. The Texas Longhorns are a very, very good basketball team. Gonzaga, though, was the number two team in the nation. We'll talk about that coming up next, and we'll get back to the NFL, including tonight's matchup between the Titans and the Packers. We continue with Hour 3.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right. Good music this morning from the 1968 Throwback Thursday. Last night, the Texas Longhorns beat Gonzaga in Austin 93-74. And I know, look, college basketball doesn't set itself up well for these kind of moments where you have a court-storming, enthusiastic Texas team beating Gonzaga, the number two team in the country. By the way, Texas was ranked 11th. So I'm sorry, but I'm not... I know kids are excited, and I would never tell anybody, don't, you know, if you want to storm the court, go ahead. But act like your team, like, this wasn't Texas Wesleyan defeating Gonzaga. Like Texas, you're eight or nine spots separated in the rankings. Like, was this really Texas going, oh my God, I never saw this coming. We just have Dylan Mitchell, a five-star recruit. We have a really good coach in Chris Beard. We've got some really talented guys in like Tyrese Hunter, right? Like, we've got some good players. Or was it the way they beat Gonzaga? Was that the exciting part last night? Was it that it was a close game in the first part, the first half, and then Texas got some separation? And not only did Texas get separation, they got a lot of separation. They went into halftime with a 10-point lead, and then they cruised from there, and the energy and the excitement was building. But again, college basketball doesn't do this as well, obviously, as football, where you have a limited number of games, a short amount of games, and these impacts of knocking off a 2 seed or a 1 seed or whatever, they're a big deal. This is simply Gonzaga on the road. They just played on an aircraft carrier, for crying out loud, on Friday against Michigan State. They go to Austin. They're playing another tough team in Texas. Texas is home. They've got a very good team, too. They were shooting lights out. And then before you know it, bam, Drew Timmy is neutralized, and Texas goes on to win. Look, I don't mind, you know, college basketball this time of year, they're fun, but it's not important. It's not conference time. And you could make the argument that even in conference time, because of the tournament, the way it's set up, these kind of things are almost forgotten by the time we get, like, are we going to be buzzing about Texas's upset win come March? No. Well, Texas will have its season. It'll have its ups and downs. Gonzaga will probably win their conference again by a zillion, because that's what they do in the Western Athletic Conference. And then we get to the tournament, and they'll do what Gonzaga they've been doing to them every year. They'll give them a high seed. They'll play well. We don't know if they'll win a national championship, but they'll be one of those teams to contend with. And then Texas will go through its Big 12 schedule, and they'll play the likes of a good Texas Tech team, a really good Baylor team, a really good Kansas team. There'll be some attrition there. They'll have games where they'll win, lose, go back and forth. There's a lot of ranked teams in the Big 12 when it comes to college basketball this season. So there'll be a lot of road mines. But when we get to the tournament, we'll find out where Texas is, and this sort of thought process of beating Gonzaga might affect them being a 4 seed to a 5 seed or a 3 seed or whatnot. But other than that, this Texas team is really exciting. Like I said, they've got Dylan Mitchell. He's great. He's a 5-star NBA level talent player. And he had an explosive dunk last night that was sort of got the crowd up and running. But when you talk about, like, would Michigan State upset Kentucky? Like, Kentucky, that wasn't St. Peter's. Like, Tom Izzo's team is not ranked, but they've got good players on that team. That's not that. John Calipari is going to worry more about the loss than rather the impact of the loss, because there's no impact of that loss, right? When you see a team kind of stumble like in a game like that on a neutral court, what I tell people this time of year, if you're a big college basketball fan, is enjoy the matchups for the game in and of itself. If you're looking for ramifications of these games like you get in college football, you're not going to get them. They're just it's not set up that way. And rightfully so. You're playing 30-plus games in college hoops. You know, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. In the end, 68 teams go to the tournament. If you're good, you'll likely go there. You want to argue seeding, like I've said many times, you can. I won't listen because I don't really care. Like when somebody tells me that they're sweating out a game because this could make them a 4 seed rather than a 5 seed when it comes tournament time, I'm like, you're just grasping at something to root for. Instead of just rooting for a win and just saying like, hey, we won, you're trying to grab some other elements to it, because that's what college football does. Like, that's what college football does. College football is set up really good. If you really think about it, the way it is right now, they set it up great, right? Because they go, okay, you can play to get a spot in the first four to play for the national championship. And they say, well, I'm not really that good to be in the top four. Okay. You can play to win your conference championship. But the other team in the conference is like one of the top teams in the country. So, okay. You can win your division. Oh, that's not bad. Yeah, that'd be cool. But, you know, I think we're a little off that. Okay. You can play to get a really good New Year's Day bowl game. Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah, New Year's Day, that's kind of tradition. Again, hate to bring this up. I know we've been talking about this. You've been setting this up nice. But, yeah, we're probably going to get like 7 wins this year. That's okay. You'll go to a bowl game. That'd be great. And what comes with that? Well, you get an extra month of practice. Oh, okay, cool. There you go. And that's what they do. They like, there's all these tiers. It's like when you were like a kid, you were like selling Christmas cards to win like that bike. It's like, well, I may not sell enough cards to win the bike, but I could probably win walkie-talkies. And you're like, okay, that's cool. Walkie-talkies are fun. College basketball is like, get in this tournament. Like, well, I don't know if we're good enough to get into that tournament. All right, that's okay. You can play in the NIT. Do I have to play in the CBI? Do I have to? You can play in the IBF. Is that even a thing? I don't know. Sorry, we got a tournament to run over here. Sorry about that. Go over here. That's college basketball. So at least in college football, like I'll tell you right now, South Carolina, the team I bleed for, they've got 6 wins. Thank God. You know, thank God, because they've got Tennessee and Clemson. They're bowl eligible. And I'll look forward to wherever they go, whether it's a small bowl like Shreveport, Louisiana, or it's maybe they pull off a win. Doubt it, but, and they go to a bigger bowl. I don't know. But at least there's something at the end of the pot. But in college hoops, they don't work that way. In college hoops, you fight to get into the tournament, and then nobody's paying attention to all these other tournaments except maybe your diehard fan base. So when you
even get the diehard fan base doesn't pay attention.
Yeah, I know. I remember South Carolina won back-to-back NITs, and I don't even think there's a banner for them. I know I told that story. Remember I told you that story once when I was talking to an Air Force official when Air Force was in the NIT, and Air Force made it all the way to Madison Square Garden. And I think they lost in the semifinals, but I remember they were winning games along the way, and they got to Madison Square Garden. They were in the Final Four of the NIT. But Air Force had also been to the NCAA tournament. They lost to North Carolina, and they lost to Illinois in 2 trips to the NCAA tournament. And I remember telling an official, I said, what more mileage do you get, losing in the first round, being quickly out of this thing, or a long run in the NIT? He goes, it's the NCAA tournament by a mile. Like you can't measure the exposure and the importance of even losing on the Thursday when it starts, where half the country isn't even watching you because there's all these other games going on.
Well, even if you're the first game and you're out, right?
And you're out like in a blink of an eye before people even come home from work on that first Thursday, you're done. That alone is worth any long trip to the NIT, even when you're playing at Madison Square Garden in the Final Four. Because that level of exposure is incredible. And his point was, he said, look, when you've got people filling out brackets and they're like all of a sudden looking at you like, oh, look, there's Air Force, right? It's like all the exposure that comes from that. And I go, yeah, it's extremely important. But you know what? You don't make the same argument in college football because there are people always go, there's too many bowls. Yeah, you're right. But in the end, you don't have to watch all of them.
Yeah.
But
they're all conveniently aired at different times.
Right, exactly.
So you can watch all of them.
If you want to watch all of them, and I know people who do. I know people who will tell me, look, man, there's nothing else on. I don't like holiday movies. Like, I don't really watch network TV. And so, I don't know San Diego State versus whoever, but I'll watch it. I'll watch that bowl game. I just throw it on. I'm not paying attention, but I'll just have it on. And there are people who do that. So even when you go 6-6, and you're playing in the Belk Bowl. Does the Belk Bowl even exist? I don't even know. But you're playing in the Gasparilla Bowl. It's at least a bowl, and it's at least on TV, and people will watch it. But the NIT gets nothing. I mean, they get hardly any exposure at all. I know they're on ESPN, but not a lot of people watch it. It's going on around the same at the same time the tournament's going on, so people are trying to, they're like, I can only handle so much college basketball, and my focus is on this thing. But college football, They've always done it where there's so many different tiers that it's worth when you see a valuable game. Last night, was last night's victory for Texas over Gonzaga, was it valuable? It could come back and affect them in a seeding way. But I don't think I don't think anything other than Texas is going to have a really good. They have a great coach. Chris Beard is a great coach. He is a great coach. And they have very good players. This Dylan Mitchell kid, I'm telling you, watch him. He's an NBA-level player. NBA-level player for Texas. And so this wasn't a struggling Texas team, doesn't have an identity that upset Gonzaga. This is as good of a matchup as you're going to get on a Wednesday night in early November. Enjoy all of these kind of things. Watch the Maui Invitational for whatever matchup you get. If you get Duke, Kansas, or Michigan State, Kentucky, those teams aren't going to be their barometer isn't going to go up or down by a November game. Watch it because it's two blue blood programs playing at a game in on a neutral court. That's what it is. That's all what you're going to get now. They're going to be playing in the Bahamas, Charleston, South Carolina, Conway, South Carolina, Las Vegas, Indianapolis, Maui. There's all sorts of locations where these neutral site tournaments are going to be for the next month. And they're great. Enjoy them for what they are. And they're just college basketball entertainment. There's no value attached to it. In college football, you can make value to everything. Like I said earlier, every win you get gets you closer to bowl eligibility. So there's a lot of value that you can take even from games that don't look like they're all that intriguing. You could find a nugget or two in there like, well, if they get 2 wins of the next 3, they'll be bowl eligible. Maybe not. Maybe you get 2-3-8, 3-6 teams playing and they're just kind of rolling through the rest of the way. But there's a lot of tiers in college football. In college basketball, it's like just enjoy it for what it is. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with 2 N's. Good throwback Thursday for you on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Yes, good music this morning, 1968. Throwback Thursday, the Heidi game, in case you're just joining us. All right, we're approaching heavy weather season, especially in Buffalo. Especially in Buffalo. It did get me thinking, driving should be enjoyable, even when it's raining. But you know what's the worst situation when you're having a good moment in the car? Listening to us talk about the Heidi game, for example, or something else. And then suddenly everything is ruined by your wipers because they go, it's annoying. It's embarrassing and it's dangerous too. That's when you know you need new wipers. Don't let squeaky wipers ruin your great moments. Hear clearly. Buy Michelin wipers. Michelin's always reminding drivers how important it is to regularly check their wipers for safety on the road. You know, yesterday was International Check Your Wipers Day. If you missed it, that's okay. So check your wipers today. Honor November 16th by checking your wipers on November 17th. So don't forget, check your wipers. It's simple to update your wipers to Michelin. Pick them up at Walmart today. So again, it gets even more hairy in Buffalo. 6 feet of snow, they're saying, could come down this week. 6 feet of snow.
I don't care who you are. That's a lot of snow.
That's a lot of snow, people. That's a lot of snow.
Yeah, they're going to move this game, aren't they?
I got a feeling.
We love seeing it.
I know. I want to see it. I don't know. I'm like
Buffalo will
right
fight
now.
For it though, right? Will Buffalo fight for this?
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know. They'll probably say all the right things. Well, we want to make sure the Browns are safe arriving into town.
Don't care. You don't care about the Browns.
Can you just rally your fan base? Like, their fans would be like, hell yeah, we're going. Don't you worry about it, Bills. We'll be there. If we march through it, we march through it. We'll go as a unit. We'll all gather at the town square and march to Highmark Stadium.
Ask Bills Mafia. Just say, hey, guys, you guys come to the game. Bring a shovel.
Everyone brings a shovel.
Everyone brings a shovel.
Everybody brings the gear. Look, again, if this was Atlanta, they'd shut the city down and no one would move.
Right.
But in Buffalo, they'd be like, look, it's a lot of snow. It's apocalyptic. We heard this before.
It's a Tuesday.
We'll be out there. It's a Tuesday, right? This lake snow is coming. It's going to be wild.
And it does amaze me, because I have family who lives in Syracuse. And every time they explain to me, it's like, yeah, we get so many inches of snow. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. How did you do that? It's like lake effect.
Yeah.
And I never knew what that was until I got older and was really talking to them. I was like, lake effect snow. That's really a thing.
You know what? Growing up in New Hampshire, where we would get a lot of snow, I was still like, whoa, we're not Buffalo.
We
would get dumped on. Like we would have snow piling up, but we were not like we would hear about what would people in Buffalo dealt with, and we were like, we still can't relate. Even with all the snow we get, we can't relate. It's crazy. Yeah, what is it? The cold air comes and the water is cold, and then just kind of comes together, and it just forms like a thunder
own weather system.
Yeah. Like the cold water plus the cold air come together and you're getting I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist, but I guess
play one on TV.
I guess somebody on Twitter posted that Jim Cantore is heading up there. So, you know, it's bad.
Yeah.
When Jim Cantore is heading up to your place,
he can't be bothered with the 3D graphics of snow sitting in a green screen room. No, he's got to be there in the thick of it.
There's a part of me that looks at him when he goes out on those places and goes, my God, I'm glad it's him, not me. But then there's another part of me that's like, I don't know. I think I kind of would like it. I think it would be kind of – the hurricanes are scary. Like that to me I don't want, because you can go to a place like Buffalo and stand in the snowstorm and it's snow. I mean, like in the end it's snow. Like
right.
You can – the thing that always scares me about a hurricane is I'm always afraid when I'm watching them in those high wind hurricanes in Florida, like he's going to be like, and then this big like tree trunk just comes barreling through and hits him, or some whatever it is. Tornadoes, the same thing. It's like you could be killed what it's carrying. In this case, it's snow, it's cold, but you know what? You just jump inside real quick. And you're all right.
I mean, it's snow. Yeah, it's cold. You could lose a finger if it gets too cold. Yeah,
exactly.
The only time snow is really dangerous is when you're on a mountain, there's an avalanche.
Yeah, right.
But if you're standing like in downtown Buffalo, it's a flat place.
Exactly. If you're just standing in the snow, it's not like you're going to drown.
Yeah, maybe snow from a falling building might bury you. And, you know, what's the worst thing about it? It gets in the clothes behind your neck.
That's right.
Why is that the most sensitive spot for snow to hit?
It's horrible.
So I can handle snow in the pants, but when the snow hits the back of my neck, I'm like, oh, God.
The one thing you have to, though, account for here is that if you're a bettor, this is a game you kind of go, I ain't touching this one. I don't know how the snow is going to affect either team. Like, it's easy to go, well, the Bills are used to it. Not everybody on the Bills is used to it. You know what I mean? Like, there's some new guys on this is their first one. This is their first game in this stuff.
Yeah, maybe you take the under in passing yards.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Exactly. So, people kind of forget that. Like, people kind of forget when they go, they think, like, every city went around its citizens and formed a football team. Like, and everybody's from there and grew up there. And so when you are playing for Buffalo, it's because you grew up. Like, I'm sure that there are players on the Bills who are like, we're playing in this? Is this what is this? It's snow. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. What? Are you kidding me? I've never done this before. What do you mean snow? What are we playing in snow for? Like, there's plenty of people on the Bills that either weren't around the last time they had a massive snow game. But you know what? If you're the Bills, let me ask this question. Would you rather play in a snow game where it's just coming down? Yeah, it's coming down hard. It's accumulating. Or would you rather be in that weird game last year where remember how windy it was against the Patriots? That was a night game. Was that a Monday night game or a Thursday night game or a Sunday night game? I know it was prime time where the Patriots they threw like two passes. And they ran the ball all the time, and it was windy, and it was, like, incredible winds. Would you rather be in just accumulating snow? It's a little slippery, but we still can do stuff in it.
Throw another one on top of that. Or would you rather, you know, be in that sweltering heat like you were in Miami?
Right in Miami, yeah, exactly. That's got to be wild. Like, Josh Allen is like, I played in a game where I was just dying of heat exhaustion, and then 2 months later, I'm playing in a snow apocalypse. What an amazing turn of events that is. That's very similar to the Chargers back in the 80s. And that game in Miami where Kay had to carry Kellen Winslow off the field. And they were all dying of heat exhaustion and dehydration. And then a week later, they were in the frozen refrigerator of Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati, one of the coldest games in NFL history. The two extremes must have drove them nuts. And they're like, well, let's go to San Diego where it's always 77 degrees. Why can't we go there? Just shows you the importance of getting home field advantage, kids. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I really am. I think this is – and you know what? Buffalo, I mean, Buffalo's 6-3. Look, you want to say, like, hey, the Bills can play in this. I don't know. Like, the ball does funny things in this game. The Bills are 6-3. You could have a game where it's so sloppy that nobody controls it, nobody dominates it. It's a matter of just where the ball bounces, who can do something in this stuff. The Browns run the ball great. They're not a great team, but they know how to run the ball really well. Maybe that's advantageous to them, where the Bills are still figuring out their running game. They got Nyheim Hines because they don't run the ball particularly all that well. They're like the number two passing offense in the league, but who's going to do that in this stuff? So if you're better, this is a game where you go, I don't know, man. It's like they play in big rainstorms, and you're like, even when a team is favored by like 7, when you're in a wet, sloppy, downpour game, be careful, because things can happen. The ball slips out funny for everybody, so you never know.
Yeah. The hardest thing for this, I would say probably one of the hardest positions to play in this game will be the kicker.
Will be the kicker, yeah.
Because first of all, you're kicking a stone. And second of all, I mean, you know, what kind of surface are you kicking on?
And you got to really plant that foot on a slippery surface. Even if you have all the cleats and help in the world, it's still slippery.
They just make sure they have natural grass in that stadium.
That's right. That's right. It certainly helps. It's Wake Up Call. As we continue on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, I don't want to continue on with the Bills Browns game, but I can't help myself because the potential here is crazy. We will get to the Thursday night game coming up, but there's a report now coming out. Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns, does a great job. She just posted that there are several alternate locations that are under consideration now by the NFL to move that football game. I know. It includes Detroit, because I guess what they're trying to do is go, okay, Buffalo, we'll move the game to Detroit. The Lions are going to be in New York this weekend to play the Giants. So the Ford Field is available. So like we can move you to Detroit, and then you could just stay in Detroit and work through your week to get ready for Thursday's game against the Lions.
But Detroit is so far away from Cleveland, Tony.
So there's also Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia is under consideration. FedEx Field in D.C. is also under consideration as those stadiums are going to be.
I don't want to watch the Weather Channel to watch the snow fall in Buffalo.
Right.
Because we already talked. Our man Jim Cantore is going there, so you know that we're going to get good footage.
Exactly.
But I want to see it in the stadium.
She is reporting, though, that the league has to be quick because the storm. I'm sorry. The storm is coming so fast that they got to let the Bills get out of the city. The Bills could be trapped in the city if the NFL
does.
I know. Isn't this story great? I can't believe I'm having so much fun with this, and a snow apocalypse is coming.
It's not
what
even
is wrong with me?
It's snow apocalypse.
It's not even snowmageddon. It's snow apocalypse. What am I? Why am I giddy about this? Like the league? The league is going. So we gather tomorrow, right? What do you think tomorrow? Maybe, I don't know, maybe Thursday night. What do you want to do? We'll discuss this. I tell you what, everybody, let's just sleep on it and we'll decide tomorrow.
Let's just see what the weather report says tomorrow.
Yeah. Let's just wake up. Why don't we do this? We don't need to do it now. Why would we
need to do that? Let's not make rash decisions.
I'll tell you what, tomorrow afternoon we'll have lunch. Then we'll go around and
where do you want to eat?
We'll decide where we're going to eat. And then afterwards, we'll just sit around, we'll discuss this, and we'll make a decision. Meanwhile, the lake effect is brewing, this storm. It's starting to come together. There's lightning bolts and this dark cloud, and the snow front is coming in, and it's creating this huge mass of snow death. And their NFL's like, tomorrow's good for tomorrow, 3 o'clock good? Yep. Oh, it's not? 5? Does 5 work for everybody? Bills are like, no planes can get out of the town.
Let's let's reconvene Sunday morning.
Right, let's go. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe what if we move it to the night game?
Yeah, why don't we do that?
When we flex
will it be
up?
Over by then? Oh, the NFL. This is awesome. This is such a good story. You know, years ago, the Denver Broncos were needing to get out of town, and there was a massive snowstorm. It was in the 80s. It was a massive snowstorm that hit Denver. And, you know, everybody had plowed their way to the airport to get the Broncos off and running to their game. They just plowed it. Now, the Bills are home in Cleveland, but I wonder if we can do the same thing. Can we just get an army of Buffalo citizens to just look, you're not going to get the team out. Let's just play here. Let's get an army and put it together. I've had a really fun time with this story. It's been wild. So tonight, Green Bay and Tennessee are playing. Let's see if the Packers can bounce back tonight and not bounce back, but continue this mojo that they have. Did you see that the Cowboys Packers game was the most watched game of the year? So far,
I didn't
this season.
See that really.
Yeah. They said the numbers for the overtime.
God, I would have thought it'd been Colts Raiders.
I know, right? Well, let's watch that mess. But yeah, they got 20 something million viewers on Fox for that game. Yeah, because it's the Cowboys and it's the Packers. It's like you. There's a couple of things going on. One, Packer fans are all over the place for whatever reason. They're everywhere. Two, we know Cowboy fans are everywhere. But two, I hate to say this, but it's true. There's a lot of people that don't like either one of these teams and kind of enjoy watching somebody in this one lose. Right? There's a little bit of that going on, too. So it's a perfect little recipe to get really good ratings out of this game. So tonight, Tennessee, my thing with Tennessee, and I talked to my friends who are Titans fans, is until it works, I won't believe it works. And that's a lazy analysis, I know. But if you're a team that just says, yeah, Ryan Tannehill is a little bit above average, but he's not an exceptional quarterback, but he's better than your average quarterback. But we run the ball with Derrick Henry. That's what we do. Stop it if you can. Well, what's the criteria for that? Not going to the Super Bowl, because they haven't gone to a Super Bowl. And in order to win a Super Bowl, you got to get to a Super Bowl. So they haven't been able to do that either. So in that regards, it is when we get to the postseason, are we going to do that thing again where we're like, well, Derrick Henry is the great equalizer to Patrick Mahomes or to Josh Allen or to any of these teams? I'll be honest, I didn't see Joe Burrow coming last year when Tennessee played them in the playoffs. I thought the Bengals were a fun story of a team that last won a playoff game at home when O.J. Simpson was broadcasting
and
the
certainly games. Certainly didn't see a team that was going to get sacked 9 times.
Right, exactly.
By that very Titans team.
Right? So in a lot of ways, you can sell me the concept, but you're not selling me the results. Right? I get that you got Derrick Henry. That's awesome. But the last couple of years hasn't produced the kind of run to a Super Bowl like we thought. They had Derrick Henry when they lost to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens at home. Right? They lost to they've lost, let's see, to Kansas City in the AFC title game. That was the year Logan Ryan ended the Brady Patriots year. Like that was the last thing Brady did in a Patriots uniform was throw a pick six to Logan Ryan. But they lost that game to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. They lost to the Ravens in the playoffs. They just lost to the Bengals in the playoffs. So it gets you where you want to go, of course, right? I mean, it's a strong defensive team. Like I said, it's got an above average quarterback. There's nothing wrong with Ryan Tannehill. He's not going to be on the same conversation as the elite quarterbacks in the league, but he's not down at the bottom either. He's not a quarterback. He's not Marcus Mariota, right? Or he's not Andy Dalton. He's not Jacoby Brissett. He's a quarterback that will win you some games too. But they don't need him to throw for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. But this team doesn't score. It has never scored over 24 points in any game this year, and yet they're 6-3. And their defense is what's keeping them in games, but also the fact that they just run the ball with Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry runs the ball well in this league. He's the number 2 leading rusher right now. He got off to a slow start to the season, but then he kicked it in and he had over 100 yards in 5 straight games before not getting 100 yards in last weekend's game. So the Titans are a team that is trying to force a formula of success that we haven't bought into quite yet. You know, it's like when teams talk about defenses, right? And they go, defense wins championships. In a way, that's so true, but in a way, it's also not. In a way, you can't be a successful team in the NFL, a Super Bowl team in the NFL, if you don't have a good offense, a really good offense. I don't think those days of a Ray Lewis Baltimore Ravens team or I want to put Tampa Bay in that category, but that's not fair to Warwick Dunn and a couple of guys that were on that offensive side. Brad Johnson was not a bad quarterback, but Trent Dilfer and the Ravens were not a good offense that year. They were not a good offense that year. They had a lot of straight games without an offensive touchdown, and it was that defense that carried them. But those days, I just think they're not necessarily over, because there'll be a team that does it. I know, but it's not a recipe. I don't think it's a recipe. Now, this Titans team is not that. The Titans team is they're not saying we're one of the top defensive teams in the NFL. But what they're saying is formula-wise, we run the ball and we run the ball well, and that's the formula for us. I mean, I think the Denver Broncos of Super Bowl 50, I think that's the last one you're going to get for a while, where the quarterback was just mediocre in the postseason, and Peyton Manning was mediocre in the – the one thing Peyton Manning did in the playoffs, and I've said this many times, Peyton Manning was definitely not electric, definitely a shell of himself, threw duck footballs. But you know what he did? He didn't turn it over. That was the key to their postseason run. They didn't turn it over. The funny thing about their run, and except the Super Bowl, every team they played the Steelers and they played the Patriots en route to the Super Bowl that year. Both fan bases felt they should have won that game. The Steelers absolutely feel like should have won that game. And remember that game against the Patriots? Do you remember that AFC title game where Tom Brady, they were peeling Tom Brady off the turf because he was just getting driven into the ground by that defense? And that guy came back and kept slinging it and slinging it and slinging it. And he had a two-point conversion that failed, and that's what cost him a chance to, I think at the time, tie the game. The Steelers absolutely felt like they blew it because the Steelers turned Tuki Tuasant fumbled the football, and that caused a big turnover that Manning was able to get points on the board off of. But they were at one point, the Steelers had the lead of the game late, and then they turned the ball over. But the Patriots felt like, if you can get to our quarterback that much, if you can get to our quarterback and knock him down that much, and we're a two-point conversion away because they missed an extra point, and we're a two-point conversion away from tying that game, we absolutely felt we should have won it. So the Broncos might be the last team for a while that is one of these defensive, really defensive teams that just needs to just get by offensively that wins the Super Bowl. I just think that there's too many good offensives now that you're going to have to figure out a way to stop, like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and a number of others. Don't confuse the Tennessee Titans with that formula. That's not their formula. They're not this outstanding defense like the Ravens, like the Broncos, like the Giants of the past, where they're Super Bowl champions, where you remember the amazing defensive experience. That's not the Titans. The Titans are going to be Derrick Henry. If no one can stop Derrick Henry, they'll win football games. But if they can, they're going to struggle to score. And that could be a problem for them. It's just an interesting way to go about it. But I think Teresa Walker last hour said something really interesting. Mike Vrabel is 9-2 in short week games. And that's outstanding. I mean, that's outstanding. In 11 short week Thursday night games or Thanksgiving games, whatever that short week is, they're 9-2. I think she's 100% right. I think it has everything to do with him being a former player and being able to say, look, there's no theory here. Whereas an assistant coach like Brian Daboll or Kevin O'Connell or Mike McDaniel or any of these younger coaches or any coach that's never played in the NFL but has coached in the NFL, everything you're doing is theoretical. Like, you can get all the feedback you want from the players, but you've never experienced it physically. But Vrabel has experienced it physically. So Vrabel's going at that going, you know what? I know how to run this week because I'll tell you how I wished the weeks were run back when I was a player. That I knew that if I could just get this segment of time off, this segment of time to work, this segment of time to do film, if I could rearrange my week, I would have been a better player on Thursday nights than I was. And he's taking that right to this team. He's taking that right to the way this team prepares. Now, again, other coaches can do it with an idea of, I get player feedback, I understand. But Vrabel's like, no, hold on. Dan Campbell can do it too, right? These former players that are coaches, they can go, I know the body. I know my body. And I talked to my teammates back in the day, and we all used to buzz about this as a workplace gripe that our coaches didn't understand what we were going through coming off of game Sunday to get ready for Thursday. But now I know what that's like as a player, so I'm going to make sure I implement those things when I'm a coach. And I think that's why they're 9-2 on Thursday games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she made a very, very good point about that. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Hey, Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Awesome, 1968. That's great. Good throwback Thursday today, the Heidi game.
It was.
On Twitter. Yeah, it was.
It's one of those two that was easy to find.
Yeah, right? Exactly. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. By the way, Philip on Twitter showed me a Christmas bag. He took a picture of a Christmas bag. And I think it's a Christmas bag that says Team Lasso.
Yep.
And I think that's what it is. I'm not really sure exactly. It's a picture of Team Lasso. And he said we are in his head because of our Ted Lasso promo that we air where we talk about the video game.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Philip. This show gets in people's heads. That's the way it is.
You know what? I'm going to say this. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, sorry, not sorry. We're putting Ted Lasso in your brain. The FIFA game.
We're doing our part to spread soccer.
That's right. We are. I got to be honest with you, man. I'm not. I am so excited for this World Cup. I don't know why. I'm just. I really am excited for Monday afternoon.
I know. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
You know, just to see what they can do. I mean, I'm excited because this is a young team, and like, you know, Glenn Davis was saying yesterday, this is. I think the reason why we're seeing this team full of no-name young players is so that in 2026 we got a really good team.
Exactly.
That hopefully can get someplace.
So is it like the Olympics where if I'm a citizen of a country, I can play, I can do something with that country? Or do you have to be born to play for Wales? Like, or if you just like moved to Wales, can you play for Wales?
I think you have to be born there.
Yeah, it might be.
Because that was part of the problem with, I can't remember the player's name, but he was playing for Ecuador, even though he was from Peru or vice versa or something like that.
And he kept getting in trouble. That seems like a simple way.
But we kind of skirt around it because, you know, if you were born in Germany, but you're born to American parents in Germany, and like one of them happens to be in the military or whatnot.
Right, right.
You can play for the United States.
That makes sense. I remember there was like that rich couple that like moved to one of the islands and they were like cross-country skiers at the Olympics. They were like representing some Caribbean island that they moved to and they were cross-country skiing in the Winter Games.
Got to the Olympics.
Got to the Olympics. Got to be part of the ceremony and get the gear. That's how it works. Wake up call.